Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, on the street day and night, that's my life, that's my home. Ain't got nowhere else I can go. So I just walk the street telling the people about Jesus. From corner to corner, from door to door. But they all make fun of me and say, I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Oh, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody.
Amen. Amen, amen. That song is a beautiful way to start the first show off in the year. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Good evening. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. Happy New Year to everyone. It is a blessed year. It's a blessed year because God brought us here. God gave us the opportunity to see 2022. And I declare this year to be a greater year, a more prosperous year, a more healthier year, a more sound year, to go forward and declare the works of the Lord. I'm putting my heart and soul and mind in trusting God in every shape, form, and fashion as he guide us through the Holy Spirit to help us be more victorious than we were in 2021. Hallelujah. Again, Happy New Year to everyone. Again, I hope that as you came into this year, you came into this year not making a New Year resolution, but making a decision to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. asking God to create in you a clean heart and renew the right spirit in you so that you may have the right heart motive to move into the mind and heart of Christ to be victorious in 2022. In other words, this is going to be a brand new you. Hallelujah. Well, let us take a moment to pray, because we want to go to God in prayer to ask him to bless us with the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding of the word that he has given me in order that we may be able to discern it and move forward in victory in God's power, not in our own might, but in the power of God, in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name, for this is the day you have made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Why, Father God? Because it is you who gives us the strength. For you are the way, the truth, and the life. When we wake up and recognize those three facts, Father God, we can move forward in the confidence that you intended for us to have when you told us in your word. You did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We should always be willing to operate in love, exercise the power you have given us, utilizing the sound mind so we may be able to understand your word and be able to go for it and share your word to the world. Again, as the gentleman said in the song, he's going door to door, knocking on the doors, letting people know about you. But we can't do that unless we gain knowledge and wisdom, understanding of your word. And through the Holy Spirit, who would impart upon us all that we need to go forward, this could be done. I pray for everyone, Father God, in the sound of my voice, that you would bless them, Father God, coming in and going out. That every detail of their life, every aspect of their life, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, financially, relational, and social, Father God, will be blessed, Father God. That they will develop, Father God, a mindset of heart, with the heart and mind of Christ, to be victorious in you. The challenges that once was a challenge for them the year past, Father God, moving forward, they will be overcomers in this life, because your word tells us greater is he that's in us that's in the world. We thank you, Father God, that this to be so. As Jesus told us, it is written, it is written, it is written. And those who have ears to hear, let them hear the power of your word. For we know the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through you, God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing to try to exalt itself against the knowledge of you, and bringing it to captivity to the obedience of Christ. Father God, let us move each day to want to follow your will, bringing us, Father God, to a point where we are faithful and obedient to you, as Christ so did. Even though he wanted the cup to pass, he said, if it be thy will, let your will be done. Let this be so with everyone under the sound of my voice, that they want to follow your will. And whatever things that was holding them back, preventing them from moving forward, drawing closer to you, Father God, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus, so that we may go forward in the confidence of you through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, it's a wonderful year, starting off really well. We're here. Yes, challenges are going on all around us, but we have to have the confidence in God that he will move us in the direction he sees fit. He will move us in a direction that we can continue to believe in him. As the Spirit told me in the last few weeks, trust in me, trust in me, trust in me. He that keep his mind on me, I will give him perfect peace, because he trusts in me. We must trust in our Heavenly Father. Jesus trusted in his Heavenly Father, and the Heavenly Father gave him and empowered him with the Holy Spirit to do things that no normal man could do in his flesh. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, he can move mountains. He can raise the dead. He can heal the sick. He can feed the hungry. This is the power we want to operate in 2022. Hallelujah. Well, let me just share a few quotes today. The one goes like this. Once we believe in ourselves, we can risk curiosity, wonder, spontaneous delight, or experience that reveals the human spirit, E. Cumming. Stop thinking you're doing it all wrong. Your path doesn't look like anyone else's, because it can't, shouldn't, and wouldn't. A flower does not think of competing to a flower next to it. It just blooms. A healthy self-love means we have no compulsion to justify to ourselves or others why we take vacations, why we sleep late, why we buy new shoes, why we spoil ourselves from time to time. We'll feel comfortable doing things when we add quality to the beauty of life. Andrew Matthew. And Lucille Ball said, keep busy and make optimism a way of life can restore your faith in yourself. Helen Keller said, optimism is faith that leads to achievement. Nothing can be done without hope and confidence. And Joe Namath said, you have no confidence in yourself. You are twice defeated in the race of life. Confidence comes from discipline and training. With confidence, you have won before you even started. And the scripture tells us in Hebrews 35:36, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for the Spirit of God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Ephesians 3:12 says, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Ephesians 3:12 says, in him, through faith in him, we may approach God moving forward in victory. I'm sorry, same scripture. In Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our times of need. Well, you know, I always like to share a little story. And this story says, once upon a time, remember those little stories when we were kids? Once upon a time, there was a very lazy man who would always look for the easier way to feed himself. One day while he was searching for something to eat, he saw the fruit farm. He looked around and didn't see anyone guarding the fruit on the tree. So he quickly decided to steal some fruit. As soon as he walked into the farm and started climbing the tree, the farmer saw him and started coming to catch him. The lazy man saw the farmer coming at him with a stick. He got afraid and ran towards the forest nearby and went into hiding. After some time, when he felt he started to move on from the forest, and while passing through, he saw a wonderful scene. There was a fox. It had only two legs and still crawling on them happily. The lazy man thought, how can this fox stay alive in such condition? The fox can't run. How he must be able to feed himself or stay alive from threat of other animals. Suddenly he saw the lion coming towards the fox with a piece of meat already in his mouth. All the animals ran away and the lazy man climbed up on a tree to save him, but the fox stayed there only. He didn't have an ability to run on two legs. But what happened next surprised the lazy man. The lion left a piece of meat, which was in his mouth, for the fox. The lazy man felt happy seeing this card play. He thought the God who is the creator of all always has a plan set to take care of what he created. He felt that God must have something planned for him too. So he left that place and sat somewhere away alone waiting for someone to feed him too. As time started passing by, he kept looking at the road, waiting for his food. He waited for 2 days without any food. Finally, he couldn't bear the hunger and started leaving. He met an old sage, a wise person framed for wisdom, on the way. He told everything happened to the sage. The sage first gave him some food and water. After having it, the lazy man asked the sage, O wise one, the God has shown his mercy on the crippled fox, but why the God was so cruel to me? The old sage with a smile said, true that the creator has a plan for everyone. You are obviously a part of God's plan, but son, you took his sign in the wrong way. He didn't want you to be like the fox. He wanted you to be like the lion. The moral story is, in life we often misunderstand the resources for strength and provision in the wrong way that God provides. The day we are born, God gives us strengths and talents and abilities that we need to use for the preservation of self and the blessing to someone else. We just all need to learn to see the things in the positive way in order to develop the confidence needed to make wise choices and become God's best as he intended us to be. This leads us right into the show. Don't cast away your confidence. What is this word we often utilize called confidence? What does it really mean in our lives? Is it something we are born with? Is it something we develop? Or is it something that we just pass down to give people some identity that will help them feel good about themselves? For Learner Dictionary that defines confidence in a brief but relevant manner. It's the feeling or belief that one can rely on someone or something or trust something. Yet they expand on the word by stating that there are five perspectives that we can entertain about the word confidence. First, belief in self, a belief in our own ability to do things and be successful. Two, believe in others. The feeling you can trust and believe and be sure about the ability or the good quality of somebody else or something. Three, feel certain. The feeling that you are certain about something or someone. Four, trust. A feeling of trust that somebody will keep information private or they will fulfill or be faithful to their word. And five, secure. You have a sense of peace that surpasses all understanding. The ability for an individual to be confident in life can be challenging because vast amount of variables come into play. The way one is reared, how they're taught, their environment, the multiple unpredictables can have major influences on one's capacity to develop confidence in self and others, which all start early in our lives. And because many of us are not informed on how to develop true confidence that leads to a strong level of self-worth and self-esteem, which could help us have confidence in people, places, and things, this and more can cause our confidence to become compromised, resulting in many of the attitudes and behaviors we view today that is not appropriate. We see it every day. We see this pseudo-pride, this pseudo-image, this pseudo-ideal of confidence, yet it's basically centered on self-gratification and self-motivation. It's really not even developing the individual who is being blessed with talent, ability, and skills to be a blessing to someone else. So we see all these things that are happening in the world that we feel is a disservice, that is sadly, that is atrocious, because people don't have the right type of confidence. I know many of you are saying, what is he talking about? I got plenty of confidence in myself and others. Well, there are many that may say that, may ask the question, do I really have true confidence or is it pseudo-confidence that is only strong, that only is strong when there's nothing going wrong? Unfortunately, this level of pseudo-confidence, or as I like to call it, of image confidence, seems to get fed the most. When we spend a great deal of our lives trying to impress others, but the confidence that our Lord is trying to impress upon us and our heart is fragile and unstable. As I talk to people throughout the course of the week or the month, many people come to me and I can tell that they're struggling to maintain a stable level of confidence, to even have self-worth. Because it's based on external factors, so their internal stability is compromised. Well, let me just give you a few examples of a biblical character, Brother Peter, who portrayed that he had the confidence of God, but truly he was representing a level of confidence that was more fitting for pseudo-confidence, and it is revealed at the first sign of a test of his faith. So let's look at Matthew 14:22-23. Immediately Jesus made the disciple get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. We notice that Jesus always goes to pray. He always goes to his Father to get guidance and direction. Later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was coming against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walked on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. Is it a ghost? They said, cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. Now we're talking about courage. Courage is kind of another level of confidence. I used to tell my soldiers that courage is not necessarily the absence of physical fear, but it's stepping into, if you will, the storm of the challenges despite of. But he said, take courage. It is I, don't be afraid. See, the Lord's going to give us that level of confidence that we don't have to entertain fear. As I spoke about early on with the scripture, I didn't have, when the scripture tells us, Paul was talking to Luke and telling Timothy, I'm sorry, and he said, God did not give you the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Our might, our strength is not based on us in this house or this vessel. It's based on the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us to move us forward. That's why it's so important for us to ask God in our prayer, create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit in me. But as we move forward, Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come on the water. Let me go back here. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. You see, as I spoke about, and as the Oxford Dictionary talk about confidence in something, Peter had knew and he trusted and he had confidence in Jesus to the point that here's a fisherman that never was noted, at least for us to see, that he was walking on the water in the past. But now he has the confidence in Jesus that if Jesus beckoned him, he would step out there in confidence and walk the water. But Jesus, having the level of confidence that he had, he said, come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat. Look at this now. He got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. Confidence. Confidence in self, confidence in someone, unconfident in something. He had the confidence in Jesus that he would do something he never did before. He walked on the water. He walked on the water. Here's where the problem comes in. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. He went right back to his human aspect of life. To entertain fear. Now there's two F's here. There's faith and fear. Now they have the acronym for fear is false evidence of things that appear real, and I have the acronym full assurance in the heavens. Oh, our Heavenly Father is faith. Now, for the moment, he had full assurance in the power of Jesus to the point that he would step out on the water and go walking. That is like, I watched this movie called The Rifleman. It's an old movie done back in the early 50s. And it's Lucas and Mark. Lucas is the father, the rifleman, and Mark is his son. And it seemed like every episode, Mark gets to see his father achieve great things. And in the Western days, that's the way it was. You had to protect your family, protect your land, because the gunslingers would come in and they'd do the shoot 'em up. And they want to take over, party, riot, or what have you. But Lucas always displayed this confidence. Confidence seemed to spill over to his son. So even when people placed a challenge on his father, he didn't waver that his father could achieve the objective. See, that's what Peter had. He had confidence in Jesus that when Jesus said, Jesus, if that's you, beckon me, call me, and Peter had that confidence. But Peter got caught up. He saw the waves, the challenges, the storms, the issues of life, COVID, cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, broken relationships, animosity, hatred, all these things he saw as we do today. And that wave pushes us away from that faith. Here's where our confidence, as it says in the scripture, he said, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cry out, Lord, save me. Again, let's go back. That confidence was still there for Jesus.
He had confidence in someone else, but not himself. Because like many of us, when life brings its twists and turns, and I was telling someone that's fascinated why God put Job's story in the Bible. Why? That he was exposed us to so much atrocity, so much heartache, so much pain, so much devastation to one man. That anything we think is bad, because most of the time, for most of us, I like to say we all have a Job, a part of a Job story. There's very few people that would get the full impact of what Job experienced. But God knew that, because there's no man greater, no man like Job on the earth. But God knew Job could handle it. But again, now we're talking the confidence that God had in Job. But Job got frustrated a little bit. But he never wavered his confidence in God. But Peter kind of missed it. But that's what we all do. Sometimes the flesh, which is waging war against the spirit, has the tendency to distract us. And this is why it's so important for us to focus on Jesus. So immediately Jesus reached out, because Peter cried out, "Save me." As I said, he still had confidence in Christ. He said, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Said him and he said, "You a little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" So the scripture tells us in Mark that he first tells us, Jesus says, "Have faith in God, that he who say unto the mountain, be not removed, be thou removed, and do not doubt in his heart." But Peter doubted in his heart. And when we get doubt in our heart, we have the tendency to cast away our confidence. But Jesus don't want us to do that. The Word don't want us to do that. God don't want us to do that. And Jesus went to his Father to get that, to pass down the power that he had, which is the Holy Spirit, to ensure that we don't have to doubt, because we were given that power. And the scripture tells us that when they climbed into the boat, the wind died. Then those who were in the boat worshiped and saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." That was a confidence builder, because they see that he could calm the sea. They seen that he could walk the water. So many of the miracles that was happening prior and even in this moment reiterated the power that was flowing through Jesus that would give them the external idea of confidence. But what Jesus wants us to do and what he wants them to do is to have it in their heart. Do not doubt in your heart. The flesh is going to do what the flesh do. But this is what I'm learning within myself, as I said earlier in the show, to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's word. I am learning not to be preoccupied with my flesh, preoccupied with developing my spirit so that my heart, as I ask God to create in me a clean heart, begins to become stronger to handle the storms and the wind of life that come our way. So let's look at my man Peter again in Luke 22:31-34. "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demands to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I pray for you that your faith may not fail." Here we go again. That question, that will Peter's faith fail? Will he let go of the full assurance in the heavens or our Heavenly Father, or will he let Satan, will he trust our Heavenly Father, or will he turn around and let it go again? But as he goes on, he said, "When you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Peter said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Here's that pseudo-confidence talking. Now, I believe in his heart he believed it, but he hadn't been put to the test. And Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times that you know me." Many times we speak before we think. We speak before we take a moment to focus on what we're saying. So we're reactive, not proactive. Now, in both situations, Peter presented that he was strong in faith and self-confidence. But when the test of faith and confidence was brought into reality, not just in thought, Peter became compromised that Jesus knew what would happen and predict what would happen, and Peter validated what would happen. See, this is where we cannot allow Satan to divert us. And this is a, as I was telling today, the elders, this is a process. This is a developmental process because we were speaking about faithfulness and obedience. Yes, faithfulness does not mean sinless. It does mean a conviction. It does mean a commitment. It does mean tenacity. But you're striving in this. You're working towards this. Daily we have to put our body unsubjected. Daily we have to die to sin. Daily we have to pray because we want to move forward to grow into who God intended us to be from the plan that he had for our life before we even hit the planet. So sometimes, as life would have it, the world would condition us to miss the big picture. But fortune of God never leaves us or forsakes us, so he gives us time to grow. Because in the scripture that tells us in 1 Corinthians, the first statement that comes out of Paul's mouth when he says, love is patience. God shows us that he has patience with us as we grow, as Jesus had patience with Peter. From Peter's example, we can see that having God-like confidence is so important. Now, having self-confidence does have its place. Why? Because it's important to our physical health, our psychological and emotional well-being, but more so for our spiritual maturity. Yet we are not taught the importance of confidence outside of worldly gratification, which is more about pseudo-pride than the God-like confidence that is more sanctific, that allows us to be more about sanctification and allows us to be true image bearers of Christ in order to do the will of God. We can see that Peter still had a lot of his old man in him, causing him to be reactive and not, again, not being proactive, to be pride-minded, not Christ-minded. And again, his behavior is not totally his fault because he was conditioned by the world's attitude and perspective that led him to respond in a worldly fashion. This is true for all of us. I like to believe that people are walking around here sinless, but that's not the reality. I like to believe that people's confidence would not waver. That is not the reality. I like to believe that people got faith that'll move mountains, but that's not the reality. But that reality is based on our five senses. We have to know that the real realities within the spiritual realm needs to be prayed about in order for us to be able to bring it from the spiritual realm to the physical realm so we will operate in the power and the will of God. See, where Peter's confidence was more dependent on himself and not in Christ. This is the same thing that when Peter was called to walk on the water, he lost sight because he got it caught up in himself. See, this is true today. Our early, for most of us, is not grounded on the mind and heart of Christ, but on ourselves, our worldly possessions, our education, anything that's based on materialism philosophy that relies on the five senses that connects us to this world. When we don't use the true power from the spiritual realm, but we use where the true power comes from, we're more focused on the worldly realm. Too often we get caught up in self-gratification, people-pleasing that when we as people end up being let down either by others or ourselves, our confidence goes with it. God's words tells us in Psalm 118:8, it is better to trust the Lord than to put your confidence in people. The fact is when we put our confidence in people or have a dependency on them, we set ourselves up to allow Satan to work through them to attack our self-esteem and self-worth, which results in the depreciation of that confidence that God wants us to have. Jesus did not have a cynical or suspicious nature as he walked with his disciples. He just didn't put his confidence in them. John 2:24 tells us, but Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew what was in man. Jesus loves us enough to die for us, but his faith and hope is in God, not man. One of the things we must take into account as we build a level of confidence, we must acknowledge that where it comes from and where it's not coming from. You see, man has a tendency to have either hidden agendas aligned with selfish motives, and in order, and let me back up a minute here, to qualify these things, and what I mean is it is within the nature of the flesh to exercise this evil nature. There's no good thing in the flesh. It's just we as people move more on our self-seeking behavior that can lead us and others or ourselves into situations that will leave them alone and on their own to fend for themselves or to fend for ourselves, which we can see that through Peter's example, that when you try to fend for yourself, you're going to sink. See, Jesus understood this as he told his disciples in John 16:32, when he told them, "You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me." See, Jesus understood that man would let you down. And again, when I speak of man, I'm speaking universally, but when I speak of man, I'm talking about man by the nature of the flesh will let you down. I see many people, let's just say here with this new year, people come in with their new year's resolution, and they're going to make changes. They're going to be this, going to be that. But one of the things that we will find as the course of time goes on, we have the tendency to waver. We're not faithful to our own, not even dealing with other people, our own goals, our own objectives. We seem to waver because when life starts to bring other things that we didn't anticipate, the unpredictables, we waver. So we lose that tenacity. We lose that continuity. And then in some way or some form of fashion, our confidence kind of slip away. It's the same as the scripture tells us, the small foxes that spoil the vine. We don't initially see it, but it eventually starts to erode away. See, this can have a major impact on many whose confidence was questionable, shaky at best, because we as humans sometimes put way too much confidence in human beings and very little in God, because God you can't necessarily see. And so therefore, because you can't see him, you can't touch him, you can't experience him in the way you experience another human being standing before you, if something gets shaky or something doesn't line up with your level of confidence at that time or your level of understanding how things should play out, your confidence wavers. This is why the scripture tells us in Romans 12:2, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is and his good and pleasing and perfect will. See, we've been so conditioned by the world, and I say we because I'm part of that group, so conditioned by the world's ways of doing things, the world's way of handling things, the way the world sees things, that we miss it. And at any turn, twist or turn in the road, we can get off the cliff. But when we stay consistent with God and allow God now to see, this validates my point. See, if our mind was aligned with the mind and heart of Christ and we were moving in God's will, we wouldn't need our mind to be transformed. We wouldn't need it to be renewed. But apparently we were conditioned for something that needed to change. And when we come to accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, that change begins, that transformation again, being impregnated with the Holy Spirit that will begin to move us away from the way we used to think, the way we used to talk. As Paul would say, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I reasoned as a child, but when I became a man, universally speaking, I put off childish ways. As I was doing my own monologue with myself, I was telling myself, I can't continue to carry childish thoughts, childish ideas, childish perspectives that I had when I was 10, when I had when I was 18, when I had when I was 20, and carried it to my 60s. It becomes a point where you have to decide, I got to let this go. I see, and Peter was our example to see that when he got with Christ and he started moving and operating with Christ, picking up the mindset of Christ, he got to the point that his confidence level increased to the point that when Christ said, "Hey, it is me," and he said, "Call me out," he was willing to step on the water. He was willing to step on the water. But when we get ourselves distracted from Christ and God's will for our lives, our confidence can become shaken. See, when we begin to recognize the thinking process of man is limited by self-seeking attitudes and behavior, which unfortunately was imparted upon us early on in our lives, then cultivated with endless messages to support the fragile ego structure. This entailed and caused us to center on our own free will that would appease our self-gratification, therefore keeping us away from God's will, who wants us to have the confidence in him, not ourselves. This is why it's so important to study God's word, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. John 4:6. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Where if we follow God's way and adhere to his truth, that which would give us more confidence and an abundant life that increases our confidence to fulfill our destiny. And this confidence comes with a level of peace that surpasses all understanding. You see, since the scripture tells us in Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind stay on thee, because he trusts him. As the Spirit been telling me in the last 3 weeks, trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me. When we put our trust in God, when we keep our mind on God, and I know this because there's a lot of diversions that come in my head. And it distracts me, and it takes me to the left and to the right, and I have to find a way to pull up the scripture. This is why it's so important to study God's word. And you don't necessarily have to be able to quote them like I do or like many do, and some are way better. They can tell you the scripture, the chapter, and everything else at will. But it's not about bringing it just for remember, because the Holy Spirit will bring all things I remember. It's about putting it in your heart. Attend to my words. Incline thy ears that I say. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep it in the midst of thy heart, before it is life unto those who find it and medicine to all their flesh. You want healing? The word will do it. You want that level of confidence that you can go forward in Christ? The Holy Spirit through his word will do it. And then you won't be distracted, stressed out, burned out, woe out, because at the end of the day, God will give you what you need to go forward in the mightiness of him. Hallelujah. Well, how can all this be done? Because, again, the scripture tells us in Isaiah 55:8-9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my way, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. This is key. Learning to understand our Heavenly Father's thoughts versus man's views and perspective will keep us grounded in the confidence of Christ, where we will receive the greatest reward. Jesus understood the reality of man's nature, but he also understood God's power and love. We must move towards trusting God more and more in order to keep our confidence level strong in him. Like Christ, when we can't accept that others may let us down, or we may let others down, when we feel that our confidence in self or others seem to be leaving. However, we can always be like Christ, our Lord and Savior, who knew the truth that his Heavenly Father will always be with him. Even when it looked bleak, when people let him down, when people fall asleep, he said, I just want you to stay here while I pray. And they got good intention, but they will sleep, will fall asleep on us. We fall asleep on people. And see, I'm at the point in my life when I listen to, as the Holy Spirit was showing me, you know, don't get caught up in the messenger, listen to the message. So as I hear the message, I start to realize that human beings are not all bad. They want to do right, but the flesh is always waging war with the spirit. But this is why we can't have the confidence in our flesh. We have to have the confidence in the word of God as he imparted upon us again, the Holy Spirit, trusting that Jesus will continue to be our big brother, advocating for us as we move forward to try to develop the mind and heart of Christ so we will operate in that power, that love, and that sound mind. Therefore, we wouldn't have a reason to cast away our confidence, because truly it really would give us a recompense of reward beyond our imagination. Well, affliction would leave and not return a second time. We would be able to live and declare the words of the Lord. Because we know that the scripture tells us that greater is he that is in us that's in the world. And the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead now dwells in us. And quickens our mortal body, making it alive. making it strong, making it be able to go forth. And as we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, which would allow us to be able to go forth using the whole armor, access to legions of angels. We have so many promises and power sources that we should not lack confidence. However, we get caught up in ourselves. We get caught up in our ego, etching God out, and we lose sight, and we lose sight. But we're going to close here. And next week, we'll begin to look at how we can build a stronger foundation like Christ as it relates to confidence in our Heavenly Father, which, like David who faced Goliath, we will be able to step up with the confidence in the Lord of hosts through the Holy Spirit to continue to fight the good fight of faith. This is essential. This is a battle that is already won, but there's some battles that in this human realm, if you will, this earthly realm, we have to recognize that we're going to be in. And as soldiers for Christ, we got to be ready. We got to be armored up. We got to have a level of confidence that God will never leave us or forsake us. We got to know without a shadow of a doubt in our heart that God not just got our back, he got our front, and he got our side. That is a 360-degree coverage. That allows us to go with the confidence we need to be victorious in this life. So from a soldier perspective, confidence that is not shaken. Too often we profess to the world that we have pretty good handle on life and all that it brings forward to us. Yet like young children, sometimes we speak before we think with a belief that we can do anything. But when life brings us to the test that will challenge our level of confidence, we become shaken, as I talked about with Peter. But we need to develop a level of confidence that is founded and grounded on Christ and the Holy Spirit. Therefore, when life brings about affliction, the mountains, the storm, where like Peter, he will allow fear to take him under. Oh, no. Our confidence in Christ would be totally dependent on God, so we will not be shaken. We will not be taken under. We will be taken over. We will not be pushed to the side. We will go forward in victory. We will be able to part the Red Seas of life and walk through the land knowing with the confidence that water of life, those waves of life, will not come down on us, and we'll get to the other side of the promised land. But in the meantime, while we walk this earth, as this Holy Spirit was telling me each day, tells me this now, trust in God. Trust in God. Trust in God. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. As always, the whole reason that we do what we do is that people will be able to be written into the book of life, that when this time comes to pass, and we need to transition, we know that our name is written. We know without a shadow of a doubt, we have that confidence, that reward is coming to us. And many people will get different types of reward, but the greatest reward is to know that you will be celebrating with Christ. You will be with God. And you will have the peace where there are no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. You will have a peace to surpass all human understanding. But in order to do that, you have to be willing to declare with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ raised Jesus from the dead to save us. So if you haven't done it this year, this is your golden opportunity. Your golden opportunity to say to the world, say to God, the Lord, I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. I come to you a sinful man, but I thank you, Father God. You said if I confess my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. But this is really simple, really simple. Just accept Christ, personal Lord and Savior, and begin to move forward to the work now. The work is to study God's word. But the more you study, the more rewarded it becomes, the more your confidence increases, and the greater things that you thought that you couldn't get in the past will begin to come your way. And I'm not talking worldly things like cars and houses and all those things. I'm talking about a peace that when you get up, as my granddaddy used to always say, the greatest thing in life is peace of mind. When you get up, you got peace. When you go through your day, you got peace. When you lay your head down, you got peace. And it gets past all what you're experiencing, that when the chaos is going on, you got the greatest reward. So again, if you haven't accepted Christ as personal Lord and Savior, I recommend you do so. Because truly, this life is short. As we've seen in this year long, great actors, great politicians, many people are transitioning to God. They're going back to spirit. And you don't want to not be written in the book of life. This is not a fear tactic. This is a reality. This is the greatest reward. All what we're doing now is just to be a blessing unto others as God has blessed us, as we share the knowledge and wisdom of God's word. But this is all about this here. This life is temporal. This is all about the eternal life, the ongoing life. I was talking to a couple. They said they were celebrating 60 years of marriage. I said, you know how long y'all been together? They said, what? Y'all been together 21,900 days. That's a big difference from 60 years when you look at it in the numbers. But in that, that's still a drop in the bucket to eternity. You want to be able to spend eternity in the glory, in the glory, in the eyes, and the illumination of God's glory in his arms. You want to spend it that way. You want to be able to celebrate with God. As the song say, see me in glory with my new raw bone. Stop by the crystal river to make my weak bone strong. Drink from a fountain that shall never run dry. God is going to wipe every tear from my eye. And as the man say, you need to make up in your mind, you're going to make it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let old things pass away and let all the beauty of God's newness come to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So don't forget to check out Kingdom Build Development Institute. You have any questions, you want to join the team, you need prayer, you can contact us at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. You can also call the home office at 313-583-9739. You can sow into the ministry, www.giveify.com, which is GIVELIFY.com, so that we can continue to move in the ministry and continue to do, as the gentleman say, go from door to door, letting people know the good news about God, the gospel, the good news, the good news. This is good news. I know in my past I knew of God, but today I can say I'm going to know God. And as you get to know someone, especially when they give you endless promises that satisfy the good things in life for you, you want to know more about them. You want to know more about them. And when he tells us that he wants us to prosper and to have a hope and a future, this is worth his weight in gold. Yes, it's not as how should I put it? It's not as easy as you just walking into a store and somebody give you a piece of cake, or you go to a restaurant, somebody give you a piece of cake. Maybe it's not that easy, but it's easy enough that the rewards are worth the work. The rewards are worth the work. To study a little bit, people go to college for 5, 6, 10 years to become doctors and lawyers. But imagine if they invested that much in studying and knowing God, how much powerful their life would be. At that point, truly, they would have the confidence, because they would have the confidence of the mind and heart of Christ. As always, in parting, you pray for me, I pray for you, and let's watch to see the miraculous things in 2022 that God is going to do for us all. God bless you. It's a blessing to be a blessing. Let's go out and bless somebody. In Jesus' name, have a good week.
Unto the Lord our God, for the Lord our God is mighty. Yes, the Lord our God, he's omnipotent. The Lord our God, he is wonderful. Everybody sing to him.
Salvation and glory belong to him.
honor and power to the Lord our God. For the Lord our God. Yes, the Lord our God. Say the Lord our God. Hallelujah. He's wonderful. All praise to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to Jesus. And the Lord our God. Say he's wonderful. Give your glory.